Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But let's do our fantasy football here. It'll be the first of many weeks. The first of many weeks until, what are we talking, early February, all right? There's football every single week, starting tonight until early February. Jamie Eisenberg, CBS Sports. Good morning, Jamie. You hear us okay?
I hear you great. How are you?
Good, good. So like I said, starting tonight, really. I mean, I know we had the Hall of Fame game last week, but whatever. Starting tonight until early February, we have football every single week. And I figure, hey, let's get our fantasy football going. Now, I brought up this problem that I have a couple days ago where the big league that I do, okay, every season, we're holding our draft at the end of week two in the preseason before week number three. And, like, I'm super nervous, you know, because it feels too early. Somebody's going to draft a player who's going to wind up getting hurt. So, I mean, I imagine there's other people who are in this scenario where now we're going to be watching the game starting tonight, kind of crossing our fingers, right?
It's the risk-reward. You know, I mean, there's a perfect example from a year ago, and it's not necessarily injury. It was the Le'Veon Bell contract situation where at this point last year and really all the way up to the start of the season, it was he's going to show, he's going to play. And you were seeing him drafted as high as number two overall, and we know that was a huge mistake. On the other side of that, everybody who was getting James Conner late just with the thought of, oh, he's the injury replacement, he's the handcuff, and then he became a superstar. So there are you know, pluses and minuses to both sides of it, and we're dealing with contract situations now with Melvin Gordon and Ezekiel Elliott that could have ramifications for the players that you take later. But yes, this is the risk you run with drafting early. You know, we would typically advise you to draft after the third preseason game. But you also have situations where, you know, you want to draft with your friends or family, you want to do those drafts in person, and scheduling those things are somewhat difficult. You know, we deal with it all the time because we have to do drafts that, you know, we put out as content for, you know, our consumers, and, you know, some of these drafts we play out. And, you know, I have some shares of Melvin Gordon that I drafted a few weeks ago in the first round, and that's obviously a mistake, but it's just the nature of how things go. We have one major injury so far with A.J. Green, and there are unfortunately going to be some more.
Well, so what did we learn from last year's situation with Le'Veon Bell? Because like you said, plenty of people were still drafting him early, saying, no, he'll be back, and he ended up sitting out the entire year. So what did we learn in regards to guys like Ezekiel Elliott and Melvin Gordon right now? What do we do about those guys with our draft coming up?
You know, the one thing that's a little bit on the positive side is the different circumstances. You know, Bell had the franchise tag. He opted to not sign it. That was his choice. They didn't have any ramifications to forcing him back on the field in terms of service time. You know, the Chargers still have control over Melvin Gordon. The Cowboys have 2 years of control over Ezekiel Elliott. So things are a little bit different with when they may report, but they may have the opportunity to either force the team's hand and sit out the majority of the season, if not the entire season, but that sort of ruins some of their long-term potential. I think you're going to see both these guys play at some point this year. I don't think it's going to be a similar situation to Bell, but you just have to keep that in the back of your mind. So when it comes to Elliott right now, you're comparing him to three other guys at the top of the draft, in Barkley, Kamara, and McCaffrey. It's easy to say I'm going to take those three guys over Zeke, and we may start to see him fall from the top four overall picks. And then Gordon, I think, just given the fact that it sounds like he may sit out longer than Ezekiel Elliott, at least for now, he seems to be falling quite a bit. He's right now being drafted in the late second, early third round. Could end up being a steal for you, though, because if he does play from week one on, you're not going to find a player of his caliber that late in the draft.
If folks want to text in some questions for Jamie, we could do that, 67974. Let me get in one more question here, Amber, and then you can read some text. At what pick in the draft do you say, okay, I'm going to take the top wide receiver, okay? Like, how many picks do we take running backs, 1 through 4, 1 through 5, 6, and then we say, all right, I'm going to take the best wide receiver?
It's 5, you know, and it could be 4 again if Elliott starts to fall. I think, again, those 4 running backs, assuming Zeke is playing from week one on, they're just so special in what they're able to do, and they seem relatively safe for what you can say for guys at that position. But, you know, when you look at the rest of the first round, you know, the other running backs that are in consideration are David Johnson. We know what that's been the last couple of years. Le'Veon Bell, new team, Adam Gase, you know, if you want to buy into that. James Conner, and just, you know, how good he'll be year two as the featured guy for the Steelers. They're all very good, but are they safer than those wide receivers? And especially format matters here if you're talking PPR versus non-PPR, where you get rewarded for catches. So guys like DeAndre Hopkins, Davante Adams, Julio Jones, they're very safe. You have huge ceilings for guys like Juju Smith-Schuster and Tyreek Hill, and then Michael Thomas. You know, again, you can run down the list. There's like seven or eight really good wide receivers that should be in consideration for the first round. And I think number five overall is where that pick starts to come into play.
Go ahead, Amber. Let's get in some questions from listeners.
Is it stupid to pick Mahomes with my first pick?
It's stupid from the standpoint of if it's not a two quarterback league, you know, you're chasing production from the previous year. There's only been one quarterback in NFL history who's had back-to-back 5,000-yard seasons. It was Drew Brees. There's never been a guy that's thrown for 50 touchdowns and come back and had even 40 the next year. It's only happened three times, but Peyton Manning fell off and Tom Brady got hurt the next year. So you're chasing production that's not going to be replicated. And if he falls off significantly, which I don't expect, but if he falls off significantly, then you've ruined your fantasy team. Quarterback is such a deep position that I would say wait, and you may not find someone as good as Mahomes, but you can still build a great roster and have a good quarterback to lead the way.
Where do you say, you know what, I got to take Mahomes now? Is it round three? Where is it?
I mean, I'm always wait on quarterback, so I'm probably looking at him in the round three range. It's just not realistic to expect him to fall that far in most drafts. I think if you really want to take him at the beginning to the end of round two, so somewhere in that range, you know, of the you know, 13 through 24. It just depends on, you know, if you think you have to get him and you're at the turn at the 1-2, you know, swing, then you take him 13, 14, whatever that spot may be. But I think the later you are getting him, the better off your fantasy team will be. I'm just not going to take Mahomes in the first round, which is what a lot of people do just because they think they're getting 50 touchdowns.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Another texter at 67974 asks, in a 12-team standard scoring league, what round should the first rookie go in?
I think it's round three. You know, it'll be Josh Jacobs, the running back for the Raiders, at least right now. You know, we may see that change if David Montgomery looks to be special for the Bears, but they have two other guys that are going to share touches with him and Tariq Cohen and Mike Davis, and maybe Miles Sanders in terms of what he can do in Philadelphia. But again, that's a crowded backfield as well. If you are in one of those two quarterback leagues or super flex formats where you can play two quarterbacks, you know, Kyler Murray may go ahead of those guys just because I think he's going to be really good with the Cardinals. But right now, Josh Jacobs in round three is the first rookie to look for.
How do you assess the Dolphins' running back situation?
You know, I was very much in the Kenyon Drake camp. You know, I thought with Brian Flores coming in, Adam Gase leaving, that they realized he's the best talent. I still think he's the better fantasy option of the two just because of what he'll do in the passing game. And even as much as it was messy last year with Frank Gore, he still had 173 touches. He still was very good, over 50 catches. And he finished as a top 20 running back. So he went from somebody that I think you could have argued could have been a fourth-round pick in PPR to now he's a fifth- or sixth-round selection. But I still would rather have him over Ballage, and Ballage went from a guy that you were taking in the double-digit rounds to now somebody you may want to consider in round eight. They'll use both guys. I think both will have success. But if the Dolphins are what I think a lot of people expect them to be, chasing points in a lot of situations, you want the guys going to catch passes in that streak.
A texter, 67974, asks, how do you like Josh Jacobs and David Montgomery as third and fourth round picks?
I think that's a good spot for him. You know, again, I think, you know, Montgomery's the one that's going to be interesting to follow because Tariq Cohen's role in the passing game is solidified. You know, if you follow football peripherally and you look at James White and what he's done for the Patriots over the last couple of years, you know, following them and their postseason runs, you know, he's a pass-catching running back that does the majority of his work, you know, third downs, passing situations, et cetera, and that's what Tariq Cohen is as well. So Montgomery may play on first and second down and not necessarily see a lot of third down action or passing game action, and I think if you take him in the fourth round of PPR, it could be a little bit too soon. But I also think that he's going to be the best running back in Chicago if he does what he's expected to do and get those 200-plus carries.
I want to mention here, it came out a few minutes ago. I don't know if you saw at this point, Jamie, but Duke Johnson's been traded. The Cleveland Browns traded Duke Johnson to the Houston Texans for a fourth-round pick next year. So what does that mean? You know, Duke Johnson was a major disappointment last year. They just didn't really use him. And this is a guy who, you know, you go back a few years ago, was a major weapon catching the ball out of the backfield. So what do we think this means for Duke Johnson fantasy-wise?
It helps him a lot. You know, it doesn't necessarily put him in the starting caliber of fantasy running backs because Lamar Miller's still there. So you have two University of Miami running backs on the same team now in the same backfield. So Miller gets downgraded a little bit, you know, because he had about a week window when they sent Deontay Foreman packing, where we thought, okay, maybe this is the year that Foreman takes a little bit more work off of Lamar Miller's plate. Now Duke Johnson will do that in the passing game. So Johnson goes from a guy that was being, you know, taken in the double-digit rounds with a flyer that maybe does get traded So now he's in that, you know, round seven, round eight consideration in PPR. It helps his fantasy value for sure. It's again a downgrade for Lamar Miller, and it's a huge upgrade. You know, not that he's going to go flying up draft boards because he's already a round two pick, but Nick Chubb benefits because he has an eight-game window before Kareem Hunt comes off of his suspension, and in those eight games, he's going to be doing everything, at least until they add maybe somebody else to replace Duke Johnson. So Nick Chubb, I think, is the biggest winner in all of this.
Okay.
Let me run through some more of these texts. Where would you choose Todd Gurley?
I think the end of round two is safe, you know, and it could be one of those situations where he's a league winner for you or he can totally wreck your fantasy team. If he plays anything close to 16 games, even in a reduced workload, he's going to be fantastic for where he's being drafted right now, which is round two. Just have to worry about that knee and if he'll hold up for the whole season after we saw last year, you know, limping toward the finish line and limping through the playoffs.
But let's say while Todd Gurley, late second round, sounds like a great value, can he be your first running back late second round, or is it he's your second running back late second round?
If it's late second round, unless something dramatically goes off the rails in your draft where it's not one of those first four running backs taken, he's going to be your second running back. Now, the question becomes is if you take a receiver, again, you know, 5 through 12, you want to take a chance on Gurley in the middle of the second round. If he continues to progress the way he's progressing right now, which is going through every practice, he's in the joint practice with the Chargers and the Raiders, you know, so far to open the season, everything seems to be fine. You know, so right now it's trending in the right direction for Todd Gurley. But don't forget about Darrell Henderson, another rookie running back who they drafted in the third round. He could have an impact for the Rams this year as well.
Amber, give Jamie one more question.
Auction draft, $100 limit. Should the keeper be McCaffrey for $20 or Sony Michel for $3, half PPR?
You know, even though the value is much better for Michel, you take the guaranteed thing in McCaffrey. And in most $100 budgets, he's going to go for $30+. So you are still saving some money there and getting him at a good price.
If we didn't get to your question, because there's a lot more on the text line, we can get to them next week. Jamie will be on with us every week.
Yeah, Jamie, you hang out with us every week. We'll have some fun in the middays here.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we could also help you. I know you were saying we have dopey programming on CBS, but on CBS Sports HQ, our sports streaming network, you can check us out there and we'll hopefully answer some of your fantasy questions.
Did I say that?
You always say that on CBS. He means CBS Network. He doesn't mean CBS Sports.
Yeah,
I mean CBS Network. Yes. What do you mean? Did you say that? You're a hater because I watch Big Bang Theory. You would lose your mind.
Oh, yes, Jamie. No, I absolutely am saying that. Yes, I'm talking about the network. I'm talking about the show. Listen, Jamie, that's bad. Come on. NCIS. Hey, Jamie, you ever run into anyone who said, did you watch NCIS this week? Come on. Be honest.
Of course. Everybody that I work with,
we always watch all the CBS. Because you love CBS. And I owe the beginning of my career with CBS as well.
When Amber was here, we used to have viewing parties for NCIS.
Oh,
so we would all sit around television and watch.
Every day.
All right, Jamie, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, man.
You got it, guys. Take care.
All right, very good. That's Jamie Eisenberg, CBS Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.